It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
Yeah. On the take two, still no scream in my headphones. Damn it. Welcome to another episode of Animation. The squad is back, man. Myself, Brennan, Ice, Rob. We're back in town, baby. We're
100%.
We're all here. 100%. Finally. No more Zoom.
Bitch.
Sick of that shit.
I'm so happy Ice is here.
Woo! Now that we are back, I need all three cameras when I say this, too, because God. We're back 100%, and you know what that means.
Why you got to look at me?
You know what that means. I know you
look him in his eyes when you say it, Ice.
I love this so much. I got to look in the camera's eyes, but I got you. You are now watching or listening or whatever the fuck to the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world. And we back in this bitch. Don't you love it? Don't you love it, Brennan?
Clearly, Ice is happy. I think we love the board, Ice. We loved
Plank Ice.
Plank Ice was amazing.
Plank Ice. Ain't no Plank Ice.
He didn't bring the same energy. No.
It's real Ice this time.
I really liked Plank Ice more.
All right, man. You know what we do, man. We review anime. We talk shit with anime. We do our thing. We got a new type of style. We kind of do like a little PTA question style. We go swings. PTA. I'm sorry. PTA. PTA. I know, right? We swing questions around. You know what I'm saying? We answer them. We have a little fun, man. And this week, the anime that we're reviewing is actually Ice's pick.
It's my pick, you little bitch.
And he picked an anime called Parasite, man.
Huh?
I said, how you feel?
I feel fantastic.
You feel fantastic about Parasite?
I feel fantastic. I know I got a W coming my way.
Confident.
Confident.
Picked the safe one, I'm assuming.
No, it's not safe. None of my picks are safe.
Had you seen Parasite before this?
I have not. I brushed by it briefly years ago, but I never went back to it. So this is my time. Time is right.
All
right. Okay. I wanted because I got jealous because all y'all kept doing 20-plus animes, and I didn't get one, so I'm like, you know what? It's my time.
After complaining the most about 20-plus animes, 20-plus episode animes, we can't do this anymore. I just can't stand.
Every 20-plus anime is garbage.
20-plus anime, that's my next pick.
Yep.
Doesn't even make any sense.
It doesn't make sense. If you keep doing it, I need to get mine.
You sound selfish. Anyways, Brennan, you want to give us a little actuals about Parasite, man?
Yeah, guys. So Parasite, like a lot of the other anime that we've watched, actually comes from a manga that was published between the years of 1988 and 1995. Yeah. A very, very, very popular and award-winning manga let me see. What awards did this win? It won the Kodansha Manga Award in 1993, the Seiun Award for Best Manga in 1996. And as of October 2014, has 11 million copies in print. Ooh, so they out here doing it.
Yeah.
And there's actually a few live-action films that were made off of this.
Oh, one
of
them.
We don't care.
Yeah. The funny thing is though, one of them made a lot of money.
Huh.
I should do the
budget and profit. What's it looking like?
You know, I love when you ask me questions I didn't research.
This is your section,
this
Brennan.
This is your job. You had one job.
I had one job. Sorry, guys. I was a little busy today. Mm. But the live action films. What'd you say?
It's a great excuse.
I mean, I was.
That's just fallback excuse every single time. I'm busy.
Either way, there's two live action films. One of them made 11 million yen.
I'm guessing the first one and then the second one, people didn't come back more.
It was the first one.
Yeah.
It was the first one. And so after all of that success, because, you know, it had the manga that was successful, the movie obviously made a lot of money. They're like, why would we make this into an anime? And so they did that.
Interesting. They skipped the anime step and went straight to live action.
Yeah. The live action movies came out before the anime, which actually might serve better, to be honest. If you were to think about the logical steps of how it normally goes manga, anime, live action. So maybe if you go manga, movie, live action, manga, live action, anime, then maybe it's different?
Because that's basically what they do with books. Because books don't, it's coming, you know, when they make movies out of books, it's coming off print material.
Right.
So.
Well, it makes sense, I think, for, because the anime normally sets the bar really, really high, yeah. right? At least with, like, I guess motion, I guess, right? So when you go out with a live action first, now that's your bar mm-hmm. that the anime, I guess, has to top.
I mean, kind of smart.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, people don't have the animated comparison.
So do you think, just a quick question, do you think if the Dragon Ball movie would have came out first?
No.
Would it still be a great movie?
No. No, I do. You, I don't think so.
How many volumes was the manga?
It was, I don't know, 10 volumes.
Okay.
Over 6 years?
Yes, over 6 years.
Wow, volumes, really took their time years. With that.
Right.
Yeah.
Made sure they got it right.
How thick are these volumes?
What'd you say?
How thick are they? Like, how many pages?
We just whooping your ass. Right now.
when have you guys ever asked me questions like this before? How many pages per manga? Like, I don't fucking know.
You're speaking about stuff like that, and we're intrigued now.
Yeah, you started this shit.
What are the differences between the show and the manga?
Yeah, right? Like, can we break that down?
Did they do a couple color pages on it, or is it just all black and white?
You know, that's a really
Brennan
good question.
Dropped
nice.
The goddamn ball.
How did I drop
which
the
is,
ball?
Which is makes this even better, because we love fucking with Brennan. But
he's always the one that's on our ass about preparation. And look at you.
I was prepared for what I normally say.
You even said it.
Normally, y'all don't interrupt me. Just let me say my shit and we move forward.
All right,
so
all
let
right.
me finish saying my
say
shit.
Shit.
How about that?
Excuses about are like assholes. Okay. We all got one. They all stink. Go ahead. Mm. Mm. Go ahead.
Come on, Mister.
My smells like berries. Thank you very much.
Come on, Mister Busy.
All right. So the anime was directed by a guy named Kenichi Shimizui. I murdered that name. Shimizu. Haha. Kenichi Shimizu.
Got it.
I feel good about that. Mm. This guy has an interesting filmography. As a director, he hasn't done that much. But as a key animator, this dude got some real, real credits that you guys are about to respect.
Okay.
All right.
I'm listening it up. No, I'm laughing because I'm thinking, like, we got to go back and just, like, all of Brennan, like, all of the Japanese names, like,
yeah,
in a row.
Yeah,
oh,
my God. Just going
supercut.
Hilarious.
Oh, my God.
I personally don't think it would be very funny. But, yeah, so he was, for this, he was a key animator and director on it, but he was a key animator on a lot of things that we do know. Some of the Naruto Shippuden, The Lost Tower, Naruto Blood Prison. The Marvel anime series, The Revival Project, and Chase the Missing Nuke. Okay. Lupin the Third, A Woman Called the Fujiko Mine. Pokemon the Movie, Kurium versus the Sword of Justice, which was in 2012. I've never even heard of that. Anybody? Trigun, Badlands Rumble, Lupin the Third, The Last Job, Afro Samurai Resurrection, Street Fighter 4. You know what I'm saying?
Shit. Wow.
Naruto, the actual TV series. He was a key animator on 2 episodes. And I'm just going to skim by all these Scooby-Doo ones.
It's just too random.
Scooby-Doo gets respect. What you talking about, man?
He actually worked on Ninja Gaiden.
Oh.
As a key
animator.
One of
the most difficult games you will ever fucking play.
Yo, Ninja Gaiden, I beat the first one, and it took me a whole summer, and I wasn't happy.
That, man. Yeah,
it's fun.
This was Dark Souls before Dark Souls. Mm. Huh?
This is the Sega Genesis one, or this is the...
What the fuck is a Sega Genesis?
I think the original Ninja Gaiden was on Sega Genesis.
I just don't know what that is.
It's a game system.
He knows what Sega Genesis is.
I was going to say, come on, man. You're younger than us. Not that much. I know what a Sega Genesis is.
I'm talking about the Xbox one.
I never played it.
I played it on the Xbox.
Yeah, that's the difficult one I was talking about.
No, it was extremely difficult. I fully agree with you. But yeah, he actually only has 2 director credits on IMDb. One of them being Parasite the Maxim, which is what we're watching. And the other actually being something called Avengers Confidential. Black Widow and the Punisher. Huh. It had a whopping 5.5 out of 10 on IMDb rating.
Damn.
And I watched the trailer.
I don't go off those ratings.
I watched the trailer, bro. I did the Keenan and watched the trailer. Wasn't feeling it. Gonna keep it real.
Wow. Yeah. Them seems two, like they're good characters, too.
Yeah.
On animated wise, anyway.
Matchup. Yeah.
Black Widow. Were they versus each other?
That's actually the messed up part about the trailer is I watched it and I didn't know what the hell I just saw. Like they were like, because they were like, yo, voice actor by this person for Black Widow, voice actor for this person by the Punisher, like whoever they were.
Yeah.
They were just talking about who was on it. Like there was like very, it was just very
were they
little
big names at least.
I didn't know the names. That doesn't
mean
anything.
With a voice
though.
Actor, and they're not even somebody we know like that. It's ridiculous.
But yeah, it was really weird because I was doing my research.
So then, okay, I ask you guys, do you take a chance on him as a director coming off of that? Like, if your money had to be going into it, would y'all take a chance on him? With him being a key animator on all of these, but a shit director.
A lot of that for me would
None of us saw it, so I can't say he's a shit director.
Well, say a shit for say it was just fucking. It earned 5.5 was being nice.
Well, I feel like Marvel's such a big entity that they have control over their shit. So it's like we want things directed the way we want them directed. We just have you as a name directing the shit. So I think with maybe Parasite, maybe he got more freedom to do what he does as an animator. As a director. But I feel like when it comes to Marvel, when they pick directors for anything, whether it's the regular movies, it's kind of like you get a little bit of freedom, but it needs to go like this.
I
feel like Ryan Coogler really did something on Black Panther.
I understand
that's what they literally said. If you don't follow what they do, they'll kick you off.
I disagree with you, though, because if you look at like Captain America 1 versus The Winter Soldier, both Marvel movies and a completely different vibe.
Two different movies.
Yeah. Two different directors.
I fell asleep on the first Captain America.
The first Captain America isn't as bad as... I've watched it again recently. It's not as horrible as I remember
it being.
It's
just boring.
But it's not good.
It's made better by the other two Captain America movies.
I fully agree with that. Yeah. And the second Captain America movie is easily, for me, top three best Marvel movie ever.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that Marvel didn't say, turn up on this. Huh?
Okay, so what's happening right now is Cameron couldn't help himself, our tech man. He said that Keenan's right, that Marvel already has a plan for the directors. But the thing is, like, 80% of a plan is not a full plan. And I completely understand that. I get that. Mm-hmm. That they're like, look, we already have the script written from a writer we want to work with. We already have the vibe. Here's the color palette. Here's the vibe. But there's still so much you can play with that within that with a director.
Absolutely.
Because if you had no control, the only reason you're showing up as a director is just to make money, which you could do that for the Marvel movies. But the thing is, you can see a stark difference. Mm. Like if you look at the first two Thor movies and look at Ragnarok,
it's a stark difference. They have a plan. Marvel has a plan of how they want their universe to go. So
but
I think that's how it's all set. It's like literally
also Marvel,
5 years.
You got people writing that's directing. Like Ryan Coogler helped write Black Panther.
I think that.
But
was,
you know, hold up. But you know what's crazy? This anime was produced by Madhouse. That means nothing to you.
No, I know what I mean.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Nothing?
I'm sure we've heard of it before.
I mean, Madhouse is the dog.
Yeah, I've definitely brought up Madhouse before.
Yeah.
They
Madhouse
did,
is one of the goats.
Yeah, they're one of the greatest. They did Ninja Scroll. They did Perfect Blue. They did Trigun. They did Death Note. They did Paprika. They did, obviously.
Oh, that's right.
They did the first season. Madhouse is a beast.
They did the first season of One Punch Man.
Yeah, huh? Definitely got some L's.
Oh, yeah, I read past the L's.
just skipped right over those.
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't know what this is.
Punisher, Black Widow,
Confidential. You're going to have a couple L's.
You have to.
You're going to have the Fantastic, well, I mean, I guess that was it, but the Fantastic Four movies and the first
Silver Surfer wasn't that bad.
Yeah, and the Hulk movie and
Silver Surfer.
Galactus was a fucking joke, and I will never forgive them for that.
For what?
For Galactus.
Yeah, I'll never forgive
him when they fucking pull up in the they got the vehicle that pulls up and they're just like, is there a Hemi in that? And he goes, you know it. And it's got the fucking Toyota logo right on the fucking ship.
What is that
it's
from?
So stupid. Fantastic Four and the Silver Surfer.
Oh.
Like, how's it going to have a Hemi?
They have the Toyota Ram on the headrests in their superhero car.
It's got a Hemi.
It's ridiculous.
No, it's
they must have paid top dollar to be.
Oh, yeah. It's like some of the most blatant product placement I've ever seen in my entire
life. That is hysterical.
Wow.
And on top of that, I would never forgive them for fucking Galactus. I just want to say that.
All right. Well, that ends my review section of all the stuff I learned.
That was probably the worst one ever. Best one you ever had.
Thank you so much, Ice. I
appreciate
your opinion.
Be a lot more prepared when we ask him questions the next time for some of this stuff. Rob, also real quick, Rob, a lot of people have been hitting me up personally. I know about everybody else, but they've been hitting me up personally for your next pick to be Death Note. They keep putting the pressure on me to be like, he needs to watch Death Note. I think, Rob, that's his shit.
It's on my list. I've been strongly considering it. The only reason I've been like, maybe not, is because I know all of you guys have seen it, right?
I loved it.
I would definitely watch Death Note again.
Definitely
watch
it. Okay, no, I'm about it. It for sure.
So we're going to swing it over to Rob
now. Not saying 100%, but a strong consider.
Okay, yeah. Rob's going to, he's not going to pick this shit.
I
already know Rob.
Sailor Moon, season one.
Rob is the king of left turns. Hey, this is a great anime, something 2000.
Did he say Sailor Moon season one?
Oh, Rob, fuck you. If you pick Sailor Moon season one.
I would quit the podcast. He's like, in my next pick, Inuyasha.
It's going to be just me and Ice, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, we can. You know what? Somebody said this the other day, and I always try to be nice to like people that's like in the anime or think they're in the anime, and they come approach me because I don't want to be that guy that Keenan always talks about. What are you talking about? But the dude was like, "Hey, man, you love anime?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm on a podcast." He's like, "Well, what's your favorite moon?" And I'm like, "I don't fucking know." Like
the
moon?
What, like, yeah, what, like, what, he was referencing Sailor Moon. Like, I guess, what are their powers or
but
something?
But they're not moons. They're planets.
Whatever it is, he was like, what do you feel about this moon? I'm like, bro, I don't know. He's like, what about this moon? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, do you even watch anime? I'm like, fuck yeah, I do. Like, I just gotta watch no weak ass fucking Sailor Moon.
I get 100% is one of those animes that I think either you fuck with heavy, especially as a guy, it might be a little bit different because it's more like, I think, an introduction to a lot of women, their anime or that Inuyasha or whatever. But Inuyasha, whatever. It's Inuyasha. It doesn't matter. So it's like, it's one of those animes that I think people are either here or there with. So, but anyways, Rob, we're going to throw it to you, man. Give us a summary.
So I'll take us through the episodes, try to get through it real quick. First episode, after we see a person get their whole head eaten off by some kind of human morphing monster thing, we meet our protagonist, Shinichi, a mild-mannered high school student. And at night, he has an encounter with some sort of alien being that burrows itself into his hand. And at first, he thinks the whole thing is just a nightmare until his hand starts acting on its own.
I just want to point out one thing. It tried to go in his ear, but he had headphones in while he sleeps.
True. His hand just starts totally acting on its own. He grabs the boob of his crush, this girl named Murano. He's just scrolling on his phone in class, but not controlling it. But the most definitive what the fuck moment is when his hand stops a whole car from hitting a kid in a crosswalk.
So dope. I love
Shinichi sees an eye looking back at him. So he's like, all right, something's up. He goes back home and he tries to communicate with the creature and finds out that strong and smart as fuck. It quickly learns how to speak fluent Japanese and is able to break a blade that he tries to stab it with and just like narrowly misses his head with it. Unfortunately, the creature doesn't have any more info on who or what it is and is almost as confused as Shinichi about what is going on. What he does know is that he depends on Shinichi to stay alive. He feeds off the nutrients in his blood and will die if they're separated. So in other words, he's a parasite. Originally, he tried to take over his brain, but Shinichi stopped him from reaching it, so instead he settled on the hand. So when the thing is awake, it controls the hand, but when he goes to sleep, he gives the control back to Shinichi. Around the city, we start to see what happens when they do get in the brain. Other creatures start taking over human hosts and just leave murders and gore behind. It's pretty nuts. And Shinichi's about to go to the police about the whole thing when the creature senses another of his kind nearby. They follow it to a nearby alleyway where they find a corgi mid meal on a much larger dog, and things go south quick. The parasite dog morphs into a monster and attacks Shinichi, but his parasite is able to find a weakness and quickly kills it by taking the heart
baby.
Out.
Easy work.
Hold on, real quick. Did everybody watch this sub?
I watched it subbed.
I watched it. Subbed.
Yeah, I watched it dubbed.
Keenan,
man.
What a joke.
But so after he gets the kill, Shinichi finds out basically how cold and calculating this thing is and only cares about one thing, and it's its own survival. The next episode starts off with a good Samaritan, it seems like, stopping a mugging in progress, but it soon becomes clear that he's a parasite just saving the victim to make a meal over him for himself. But when he's confronted by the guys that he beat up, he's just like, all right, well, I got to take out everybody. Just kills them all in like a single swipe. And we find out that these parasites can change their host's appearance, or at least this one can. At school, Shinichi and his newly named parasite Migi are—that's the name that the parasite has chosen for itself. I think Japanese for right hand, maybe. They're dealing with the troubles of high school. You know, showing off in gym class, asking girls on dates, fighting bullies, masturbating at the urinal. You know, the usual stuff. However, not all is well. Word about the grisly murders are spreading. Now called the Mincemeat Murders. Shinichi starts to feel guilty, knowing that he knows what's happening but isn't doing anything about it. Migi says what his kind is doing is natural. They're only eating one kind of food, whereas humans eat almost everything. So who's
savages.
Really the bigger monster? Migi drives home the point by threatening that he needs Shinichi to stay alive, but not whole. He will blind and deafen him if it means furthering Migi's survival. Later on in the street, Migi detects another parasite and suggests running, but Shinichi wants to confront it and stop it from murdering more people. And when it arrives, it tries to convince Migi to join him, to join his host body so the two can combine and become more powerful. Shinichi worries Migi will take him up on the offer, but in the end, Migi decides to protect him. He claims it's only that he did it because he didn't know if the transfer would actually work, but Shinichi seems to hold out hope that maybe he's valuing his life over others. I don't think so.
No.
The next day on his date with Murano, Shinichi starts to show how much he's changing personally by, standing up to some bullies that are torturing a cat and scaring them off. You know, when they try to come back at him, he just turns around and tells them, "I will eat you alive." And it scores him big points with Murano too. You know, the two of them go home holding
He's
hands.
He's a protector.
Elsewhere, two parasites in human forms are sharing a more carnal romantic moment. we just see them nude in the moonlight. The next episode, that same woman that we just saw is on the subway and beats the shit out of a dude who is groping her on the train. But she's on her way to her new job, which is a math teacher at Sinichi's school, and she's posing as this woman named Ryoko. Miki wants to play it cool, but Sinichi accidentally makes eye contact with her, and she knows exactly who he is, and she knows that he knows, and she knows that he knows that he knows that she knows.
Well done.
So,
well said.
Yeah. So the students are all fawning over Ryoko, but Sinichi is worried when she's like, "Hey, why don't you stay after class and talk to me after school?" And at first, you know, Ryoko just assures him that he and his classmates are safe for now. She's trying to keep, you know, her circle safe. So as long as he keeps his mouth shut, everybody will be fine. But she's curious about his case since he and Migi are sharing one body, and invite him to meet up with a third parasite at a coffee shop later on. A guy named Mr. A, the other guy who
spazzing.
We saw. Yeah, he's not holding it together well. but this is the other guy who she was with. He's much less friendly, and she explains that she and Mr. A didn't expect experiment where they had sex to see what would happen, and it turns out she became pregnant with a 100% human child, and they all kind of wonder what that means. You know, what does that make them? Does that make them human? Even these other two parasites don't know what they are. Sinichi says there's no more need for human murder since Migi can survive without it, just surviving off his nutrients, but Mr. A gets annoyed with that and leaves, saying he does what he wants when he wants to. He proves that the next day by attacking Sinichi's school in an attempt to find him and eliminate him and Migi. Ryoko hides during the attack to see how the events unfold as the students evacuate. And Miki wants to use the other students as a meat shield, but Sinichi breaks away from them, telling Murano
what
to stay away.
What a dickhead.
Which was, yeah.
There's a lot of people here.
He breaks away from him to confront Mr. A alone. He and Miki barricade themselves in a hallway to come up with a battle plan to fight this guy, how they're going to fight together. And just as he crashes through a window, and that takes us to the last episode, where in the fight, Migi plays defense and creates an opening for Sinichi to land a mortal blow, stabbing this dude with like a desk leg. And he just wanders off, you know, wounded, can't believe he's been, you know, hurt by murderers. Migi tells him, you know, "We got to finish this job," but Sinichi doesn't want to be a murderer. Mr. A is looking for Ryoko, hoping they can merge, but when he finds her, she just explodes him. So she's clearly just as cold and as calculating.
Jumps out a window.
Yeah. Life soon returns to normal for everybody, but Ryoko is soon fired from her job as the teacher when she tells the school board she's pregnant and unmarried. Without the job, Ryoko says her identity is dead and warns Sinichi that he and his friends are no longer safe. Sinichi protests that there must be another way, but Ryoko explains that eating humans is just her pure nature. There's no getting around it. It's her drive. He tries to appeal to her possible humanity by asking about the baby, but she just says she just plans to experiment on it and then later eat it if those end up being a failure. She moves to attack, and Migi notices she's super strong, but at the last second she holds back, deciding that she's more interested to see in how their bond progresses. And progress it does. The next morning, Migi shows off that he can now detach from Sinichi for 3 minutes at a time and is able to make more complex shapes, even morphing into a gun at one point. However, a few close calls with Sinichi's mom starts to make things tense at home.
Because it looked like he was jacking off.
Yeah. Sinichi demands privacy in his and tells his parents that they shouldn't go on a planned vacation for their own safety, but then later backtracks when Migi explains that they might be safer from the murder on the countryside. His mom is protective and suspicious, but his dad reasons he's just getting older and will start acting out more by nature. He's not a kid anymore. In the end, Sinichi apologizes and his parents decide to take the vacation, leaving Sinichi at home alone with Migi while Ryoko watches over the city, feeling her baby moving inside of her. And those were the first four episodes of Parasite.
All right, man.
All right.
Okay.
Well done, Rob.
Let's talk
about... No questions, huh?
Huh?
No questions for Rob, huh, guys?
No, not at all, because he did his job.
He was so fast through it, even when I was going to try to say something or I was kind of like chiming a little bit, he just ran over me.
I hear so well, so I'm just like, I can't listen to it or I'll get, you know, I'll stutter up on what I'm saying.
Stop being a bitch,
that's how it is when you do your job.
Damn. Great job,
all
Rob.
All of you are ugly. Good thing this is a podcast.
Yeah, right.
So one of the first questions I want to ask, since this is what it is, what the show is called, have you ever been infected by a parasite before, Brennan?
This is a question I wrote. we got to start the timer first.
Oh, yeah, let's start the timer up.
You've been fucking up.
Damn.
What are you talking about? You jumped into that so quick.
You should have had it ready to go.
You knew questions
I'm
were
trying
next.
To get it charged, you know what I'm saying? Because it was like,
that's
charged.
No
has nothing to do with
you
it.
You guys having
on
fun?
This.
Like, is it fun to pile on Brennan today? All right, here we go. So I actually have had a parasite before. It was called amoebostasis. While I was in Cambodia, I partook in some Cambodian traditions and drinking like things I probably shouldn't have out in the countryside when I was really trying to become like.
The fuck was you drinking?
It was like palm wine is what I think it came from, but it was like straight from the tree. it was not a good. I did not make good choices because I was just like, I'm good. Like, I'm young. I'm whatever. I remember like I was out there in the countryside. I came back. I started feeling a little sick, and then I got a really, really heavy fever that one night. And I don't really remember it that well. I just remember I actually called Tony Valentino, my business partner, while he was in the United States. I was in Cambodia. I called him sitting on the floor of the shower with like cold water running on top of me. Like, yeah, man, like, I don't know if I should let my roommate know or not, because I think I could maybe go to the hospital or something. He was like, you idiot. Yes. Go to the hospital.
You're in a foreign country, bro.
Right.
Yeah, so we went to like this ISS hospital is what it was, International Hospital. And they told me that I would have died if I hadn't come there within like 24 hours.
Shit. Oh, wow.
But the crazy thing is
the
right.
No, the crazy thing is like when you go to the hospital or to the doctor and you have a very serious problem, what would be the best case scenario of what they could do to make you feel better? Because this is exactly what happened. They said, here's an IV. You're dehydrated. Take this one pill. In 1 hour, you will be 100%. 1 hour later, I was 100% better.
Damn. Wow.
It killed all of it in 1 hour, and they said, you'll never have a problem with this again. Have a good day.
So for it to be that deadly and lethal, to kill you in a day?
Yeah. It was going to kill me of dehydration.
That's a Superman.
Yeah. They
parasite.
Just gave me one, they gave me one pill. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kills you of dehydration because I was just like pooing out everything.
Oh, so that, I mean, that means.
Did they show you the parasite, or did it just.
No, it's a single cell organism, so you can't see it.
Oh, that's even scarier.
So it's like it's an amoeba. Amoebia stasis.
Oh, yeah, right. You said
microscopic. That is terrifying.
Yeah. Rob, good times, guys. Any of you?
What about you, Rob?
I don't think I've ever had a parasite, personally. Not that I can think of. I haven't been to Cambodia. I haven't drunk any palm wine.
It's fun. I recommend it.
I don't know after that story.
Yeah,
the one thing I can kind of relate is I remember one time I was dog sitting somebody's dogs, and friendly dog rolled over on his stomach, was like, yeah, give me belly pets. And I'm just like, oh, you got some like bumps on you. Let me see that. And it was just a bunch of ticks, like all down in a row. It's like, snap. So we had to pick those off. That was not a fun day. That's really my closest parasite experience.
Wow.
Something like that.
I mean, I've had ticks too.
You had ticks on you?
Yeah, ticks on you.
I mean,
what? You travel a lot, bro.
That's what
you
I'm saying. I travel a lot. I spend a lot of time outdoors.
If you're out in the tall grass, you might.
I knew when Brennan wrote this, he had to have had one because he travels so much. Yeah. And I'm just so happy for myself. Like, I look at that, Brennan, I was like, I'll probably ask, if I'm going anywhere, I'm going to be like, Brennan, have you been here before? Cool. I'm going to ask you some questions. Yes, no? All right, cool. We go from there. I mean, me personally, I never had one. I'm glad too about you, Ice.
No.
You had an infection?
Stomach poison, that's it.
Food poisoning?
Yeah.
Cholera.
I could tell y'all another story.
I've got infection stories, but no parasite stories.
What are you trying to say? Infections?
Huh?
What?
What's happening right now?
I have no idea.
And you know we don't have to use the whole time, but if you got a quick story, wrap it up.
No, ahead. I was just going to say, because of the tick thing, it's like when I was a kid, my grandparents, they still have a farm in Virginia, and I remember we were out running around and playing, and we were running through the woods doing our thing, and we came back, and I had a bunch of like ticks and stuff like on my ankles, on both my feet. It was like something. They were like little red things, but they all just attached themselves to me, and I didn't even notice.
Oh my God.
I came inside, and it was like time to take a bath or whatever, and I was just put off like my socks, and I was like, screamed or whatever. And then my grandma got so mad at me. She's like, how could you not notice this? I'm like, I was having fun. I don't know, you know?
Oh my God, that would freak me out.
But yeah, it was crazy because like what they had to do, like we couldn't, they were too small to pick off. So we had to put my feet in like really hot water and then put it in really cold water and then really hot water. So I was just going back and forth. They all just died and fell off.
Wow.
Oh, God.
It's good times, guys.
I mean, over quarantine, I got bit by a spider. That shit was fucking wicked.
Where?
On my back of my leg. I thought it was a mosquito bite. I just put alcohol on it. Then I went to sleep and woke up the next day. My leg was fucking fat as fuck. Ooh, and then I had to go to the hospital and take like pills and stuff. Had to take antibiotics. And he said that I would have had a fever. Like I said, what was the worst would have happened if I didn't come here? He said you would have had a fever. You would have broke the fever and your leg would have like busted open and all. You would have been good after that. But I'm like, fuck, man. I would have went to the hospital. Like I said, this is COVID time. So I'm like, oh, shit. I might have thought I had the COVID.
And we're moving on.
I got the COVID. All right, next question, man. So, you know, since she's mom didn't allow like a lot of privacy, she popped up on his ass. So what do you think, man? Are you popping up on your kids like that? You just walking in their room or something like that? What about you? You got a son, Ice. So what do you do with your kids?
I saw this funny meme where it was like a picture of Thanos looking, and it was all like, this is me when I have a kid popping into my room. Like, he's just looking at his kid and just mugging him for no reason. I do that all the time. That's why I started dying. Like, over quarantine, I had my son the whole quarantine damn near, and I would go in the room and I just look at him. He'd look at me. He'd be like, what? I'm like, and I just walk out the room like so many times. But I think at this age.
How old is he?
He's 10 right now.
Okay.
So at this age, I'll do it. I think when he gets older, I'll probably chill out on it. But like right now as a kid, I'm definitely popping in on it. Because like, what the fuck you doing? Because sometimes I can hear him. But if you get quiet, that's the thing about like parenting. If like your kids get quiet, it's like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? Because especially my kid, like he loud as shit. Like he just be, because he have his headphones in when he play his game. So he loud. So if he's quiet, I'm like, oh nah, something up. So I come in there like, what the fuck you doing?
What about you, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like Ice does. I feel like up to a certain age, like, yeah, that's totally permissible. Like, especially like, yeah, like if they get quiet, what are you up to in there? Like, what are you looking at? But yeah, I mean, you start to get into like, I don't know, high school, later high school age, like you start busting in on your kid, like you're gonna might see some shit you can't unsee. Like,
yeah,
it might get kind of tough. So I think maybe for my own self, I might start knocking when I get to a certain age.
Absolutely.
You know? Especially good to just establish boundaries and some privacy. You know what I mean?
Did your parents knock for you?
No, not that I remember. No,
they
not
just
at all.
Came in.
Yeah, as far as I can remember.
Did they ever come on you doing?
No, luckily, never. No.
I got caught so many times.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Oh, I've never got caught.
You got caught jacking off by
your
parents?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Really?
Definitely.
You're
my mom,
terrible.
Why are you jacking off during the day?
Yeah. No, it'd be like at night. Like, my mom didn't give a shit.
And you jacking off without the cover on you?
I had the cover on me. They didn't see it. Like, they didn't see it, but they knew what was happening. You know what I'm saying?
Like, they could put it
Cam
together.
Cam was so over. You should have saw his face right now. I was like, what the fuck?
Bro, if that's me, I'm always turning away from the door area.
No, so like no, so it was covered and stuff like that, but I've turned away and all those things, but it's pretty obvious.
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on? I'm like in the corner.
I'm busy. Get out of my room, Mom.
Yeah, my mom didn't care. So she just be like, after she caught me the first time, she would just be like, hey, Brenda, what's up? Yeah, I just walk in the room.
She's trying to get you. At that
so
point.
It became a thing that she figured out, like it became so like unnecessarily common that at some point, like she'd come and I would just like, cause I had the cover and I would just be like, Mom. And then she'd be like, oh, okay. And then walk out.
Yes, she must have been like, Ice, just like, he's too quiet there.
Right.
It probably was that. I was the troublemaker in my family for sure.
It's funny, like, that's a particular situation with Brennan. If that's me, like, at a certain point in time, my dad. You know, he wasn't trying to catch me jacking off, but I was just like, I made sure I just set appointments. All right, 1 a.m., set my alarm. Ain't nobody going to be up at 1 a.m. to try to bust in there and catch me.
Yeah,
but other than that, like, me personally, I think I'm going to be, I pay the rent. I'm coming in whatever room, whenever I want to.
Yes.
That's how, especially with black parents, I pay the rent. Why is your door closed in the first place?
This is my door. Like, this isn't your door. This is my door.
My dad didn't allow the door closed in the house, really, until, like, we became teenagers. But other than that, he was like, why's your door closed for? I just wanted to, ain't no privacy in here, man. If you start paying rent, you can't get no privacy.
But do you feel like that might cause some type of like
drama or whatever?
Yeah, well, not like anxiety, like growing up instilled anxiety in the kid because it's like, fuck, like I don't, like.
Somebody could bust in at any time.
Like, yeah, because you always busting in on your kid. Well, then
you shouldn't be doing anything. You shouldn't have other people seeing it in the first place.
That's why my door was always open. So there was never a busting. It was always like you walk by, my dad can just look in there or whatever. So my door was always open. But when we were closing, he would bust in there. Yeah, I would like, it was like, oh, I'll be startled. But I made sure I was never like doing something like that during times where we were up.
Yeah.
So I mean that's why I wasn't tripping. But I'm going to be that dad being like, don't close your door in here. Like,
Oh, I 1,000% agree.
There's no reason
I honestly can't see neither one of y'all doing it. Maybe I can see Keenan a little bit, but I can't see you.
Why
being,
is your door need to be closed?
You couldn't see me.
I couldn't see you. I can see Keenan because just how he go about certain things, but I can't see Brandon doing it. I just think like you're just like a, what's up, man? What you doing? Like, hey, I don't think you're going to be like, what the fuck, kid? Like, I just don't see it.
I mean, it's a good point. Why do you have your door closed? I can't think of a single thing that a kid might be up to.
Yeah. There's literally nothing you should be doing.
He might be building you a Father's Day present.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Thank you. You should have, you know, maybe you should have worked with your mom on this so she could close the door. Maybe your mom, you work with mom or whoever on this, so y'all can together say, you stay out. I'm like, well, I know she's with he or she is with an adult, so we're good. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, that's a different. Are you busting in on a girl, a daughter like you are on your son?
That's it. No more questions. Moving on.
Moving on.
I mean, first of all, when the alarm goes off, that means wrap it up. That doesn't mean stop dead in your tracks.
No, that means stop
dead
in your tracks.
No, the alarm is God.
The alarm is God. It means stop. Move on.
That is trash. So wrap it up. That's what it, because it doesn't. If
move
you got
it on,
a point,
Keenan.
All right, shut your punk ass up.
The alarm is spoken.
Next question. So in here, in this anime, he had an option to either get rid of his right arm, and the other dude, somebody else is going to take it, and he can actually get rid of the parasite at that point. My question for you guys is, would you do that? If you had that option, would you have got rid of your right arm? Me personally, at that point, yes.
Yeah.
Afterwards, as this motherfucker doing all this cool shit, I'm like, oh, man, I'm about to keep you.
Yeah.
But beforehand, I'm like, wait, this thing got a mouth? Let me try something real quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey. Oh,
yo.
It does.
Yo. So y'all sitting here telling me, y'all sitting there telling me if now you was already jacking off as a kid as a lot, so shut the fuck up, Brennan. So you sitting
that's
there
like different. You're talking about a parasite.
If your hand has a mouth,
no, it's still attached to you.
No, look at
you gonna
Cameron.
Do that. You know what's gonna happen. You know what's gonna happen. You gonna do that, and then you gonna start feeling something in your tongue and your tongue. You be like, what the
do
fuck?
You
is
see
that
how sharp that thing's claws are?
Let me tell you something, bro. It don't gotta use teeth. All I'm saying is,
oh my God,
is that I feel at that point. I probably would have stayed a virgin even longer if that's
just
the case.
Just for the record, y'all, Keenan wrote this question so he could say that.
No, I didn't.
I'd like to point it out. This is his question.
He
wanted to let everybody know.
Marilyn Manson
a parasite.
I would never do what Marilyn Manson tried to it did.
I mean, listen, I was just as appalled as you guys, and then I started thinking about the episodes, and there's one moment where that parasite just like, let me see if I can get this sex organ hard right now. Broad daylight, there's a dude, another urinal, like right over there.
He did it in public, at school.
I'm not saying I would. I mean, I'm with Sinichi. Like, now's not. No. But I mean,
yourself in your
parasite was willing. Apparently,
hold on, guys. I need a moment here. Mm-hmm. Rob,
yeah.
Are you agreeing with Keenan right now?
Put yourself as teenage Rob.
Let him answer the question.
Teenage Rob. Not right now. Teenage Rob.
Rob, are you saying that you would?
You would give yourself a hand.
Hold on. Let him say it.
I would consider it.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Rob. You know why? Rob is looking at himself as a teenager.
That is sick.
And teenagers are just horn dogs.
No way.
Out the gate.
He's not wrong. I'm not doing,
I was not wrong. I would never do that. I told y'all last week how active I got.
You was smashing at three, man. So you was getting it in early.
So, no. That's fucking that. That's no.
I don't disagree with you. It is nasty.
That's on the same level as Marilyn Manson. Marilyn Manson took out ribs, or I don't know if he actually did.
Oh, that's
the rumor.
But the rumor is
he
took out ribs so he can give himself a blowjob. Like
that
that's
is not the same thing.
That's the exact same thing.
That's very different.
This hand right here is not your mouth.
That is, it's connected to you.
Hold on a second. Your logic right now makes literally no sense.
It does.
No, it doesn't, because that's making it sound like. Like, first of all, it's not your mouth because it ate your hand.
But
no, I'm just saying,
attached
to
you.
Yeah, but it's not yours. It can detach from you too.
But especially at that point, he didn't know
but
that.
We're just talking about in generality.
No,
if you would allow this to happen.
Before he didn't know that. It's a part of your
mouth.
Like,
you gave a bad example, Ice.
If this is your first time,
it's a blowjob. A blowjob is a blowjob.
If this is your first time listening to our podcast, this is what we call the Ice Zone, where we really find a space where Ice just says logic does not matter.
That does. If somebody without ribs
to something that doesn't matter.
If you're trying to take ribs out to give yourself a blowjob and you have a hand with the mouth to try to give yourself a blowjob, that's the same shit.
That's your own mouth. This is not your own
mouth.
That's
the same shit. It's connected to you.
Do you agree with me? Cameron, like Cameron's
that's the same shit.
Conversation is ridiculous.
Thank you. Can I answer the question?
Go ahead and answer the question.
I don't think I would have gotten rid of the parasite simply because now I don't have an arm, and the parasite does give me an arm. That's the most base level way that I look at that.
I forgot this was the question.
Yeah. So I wouldn't get rid of the. I probably wouldn't get rid of the parasite, as well as I find the parasite to be a very interesting, logical creature that inherently wants to keep me alive and is protecting me from these other parasites that I now have to defend myself from because of the arm. But at the same time, after I saw what it did to that dog, I'd be like, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah. I'm good.
You got to think. All right. Anybody else?
No. Fuck this question, because y'all full of shit and y'all weird for having to give yourself
would
a
you get rid of the parasite, Ice?
No, I wouldn't.
Why?
I'll keep it. Not to fucking give myself a blowjob.
I agree, but why else? Why?
Yeah. Just because I got a defense mechanism, excuse me.
But it also brings danger into your life.
Yeah. That's fine. I could rather, you know, just like a gun, rather be caught with it than without it.
Okay, so you feel safer with that thing as your defense once you see what it does, pretty
100%.
Much?
100%. Even before. That?
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, because if you get rid of it, there's still those other parasites still out there.
That doesn't make you, you know, immune to other parasites.
I think I'm kind of traumatized by what Keenan and Rob said.
That's fucking sick.
All right, I'm really trying to
I'm not disagreeing. I'm not saying it's not fucked up.
You guys are fucking sick. Even fit, young me wouldn't want to do that.
You know what? The fun part is all I can think about is Rob. You're like, I'm engaged. That's all. I don't know why either.
Hey, he wasn't. I'm not talking about Kurt.
15-year-old teenage Rob. All right.
I'm not talking about the guy sitting here in this room with you right now.
Moving on. All right, this is a little bit of a deeper question. If you're trying to convince this alien attached to your hand that humanity isn't trash/demonic, what information would you show it, or what information would you hide from it, Rob?
I mean, there's some obvious stuff that, like, we do some awful fucking shit to each other as people that are just obvious answers. But I mean, just to keep it in the realm of food, I'm keeping this thing as far away from like factory farming, like information. Like, I don't want this thing to see like what we do to like cows and chickens and pigs. Like, cause it's just like, oh, this is what you guys do. Like, honestly, you guys got a good, you guys are free range as far as we're concerned, just out there in the field, like doing your thing. We just, you know, snatch you up when it's time. So, I mean, that could put some ideas in their head.
Is it too soon for me to say how we treat black people, too? Is that too soon?
There's some very obvious answers.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I'm sorry.
But if there's something I'm going to show it, I don't know, maybe those, like, dodo videos. Like, look at this person helping out this, like, injured animal. You know, like, you know, this hawk just sought shelter in a storm in this guy's car, and he nursed it back to health. They're like, look, we can care for other creatures, too. Mm. You know, I'd maybe show him an Impossible Burger. Like,
you're trying to sway. But like, hey, you see, we're good. Yeah. You could be like us.
Exactly.
They got a beef like this.
Yeah, I'd be probably vegetarian immediately after that. Vegan, like, all the way. Once I got that guy. That's me. That's what I'm trying to keep from it.
What about you, Ice?
I would show him what's going on right now. I think it would be a kind of conversation of both. Like, hey, because of this bullshit that's going on, look at the amount of people that's coming together to fight. And these humans that you think are so bad, when we get together and fight against fucking injustices, we can really do something. And I show them, like, all the change that we made. Mm.
I think, to just piggyback off that point, I feel like they're going to pick a side, like how they're kind of doing now, right? They're going to be like, well, you know, like, well, there are some good ones, but I like the evil ones, and I'm going to do what the fuck they do. So that's why we'd be afraid to kind of show them that, because that could flip it and go the wrong way, and it could be a problem at that point. We're like, y'all need to be slaughtered, actually. You guys need to be cut down, because y'all are some terrible people for what y'all do to people. What about you, Brennan?
I would start with the definition of the word of altruism and say, like, we not only came up with this word but display it and find other even other creatures doing it and reward and celebrate it. So I mean, I think Ice made a really good point in saying that I would present human beings as a very complex creature that is neither good nor bad, but it possesses the equal ability to be both, thus having the right to survive if balance is able to be found. So I would do my best to have the parasite be on the side of saying, like, humans have this potential to be amazingly good for everything and everyone around them if they're nurtured the right way. And so, like, I would start going into the nature versus nurture argument of what makes a human is that, you know, like they were talking about in the episode, is saying all the creatures on Earth have a directive, like, to survive or to reproduce or to whatever. And I would say that humans have a very, have a directive as well, as to survive and reproduce and populate. But at the same time, you'll notice that humans do much more. And that much more can be good and can be bad. And we're not truly given a directive in that sense. So I would say that, like, our directive is self-imposed, but it's a lot of it is nature versus nurture, you know, 51-49. And say, like, if you look at this nurture side of it, really start focusing on that, you'll realize that's where the human potential really can be found. Because then it's like, well, then if the parasite starts asking questions, I'm like, okay, well, you can look at people that dedicated only, all of us have only a very small amount of time on this planet and we're aware of it. And if you look at, there's a lot of people in history that dedicated that time simply to help other people or simply to help the environment or simply to make things cleaner or better or whatever that is. There's a lot of countless, you know, people documented doing that. And they're like, wow, that's incredible. I'm like, okay, but let me also show you who Hitler was. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Let me also show you these other people who committed to being evil, but you look at why. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's arguments going on that you should start to understand is that this nature versus nurture thing says that some of these people were born naturally sociopaths or psychopaths, mm-hmm. but it's such a small percentage. And the rest of them, you can draw a direct line back to how are they raised by other people yeah. and teach the concept of hurt people, hurt people. Mm-hmm. So the less we hurt people and the more we support each other, the less that you'll see pain and bad things happening with humans.
Right. Mm-hmm. Some people are just born chemically unbalanced, too. It's just...
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But even still, then you go into the psychiatry side of it and say that you can balance that imbalance.
Mm. Okay. All right. That was a good balance of deepening this up. All right. Appreciate it. Have you ever had a
parasite gonna be trying to talk it out?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we would be homies. Like my mom, like, who are you talking to?
I'm your parasite like, getting to the fight and be like, wait. Let's get to the root of this fight before we fight. Right?
Yeah. You'll be dead by then.
But what are we really talking?
No,
about?
We would be like strategic. But what's up?
All right, next question. Have you guys ever had, like, there was a lockdown in this situation at this school. Have you guys ever been in a real school lockdown before, Brendan?
Wait, there it is. It's funny. So, obviously, this is my question. Hmm. I actually really haven't, but I just wanted to know if you guys had. I wrote it. Like, I remember doing the lockdown drills. I remember when September 11th happened. You know what I'm saying? That was a lockdown for some reason. Hmm. You know, so I remember, like, when some students would like commit suicide while we were in school and they'd say it over the PA.
Damn.
I mean, they would, you know, like that happened when I was in school. Like one of my friends actually committed suicide and they didn't tell us that that's what happened. So I didn't find out until years later. Mm. They just put over the announcements and said that he passed in his sleep, you know, to hide the shame or whatever. But he did. And I knew him and it was really
sad. What did he do to himself?
You know, I still don't know that, but I do know that, like, because I was his friend, afterwards we got to go to his house, and he had, in his yearbook, he had written, like, he pretty much had written a description of every person in the school in the yearbook next to the picture and how he felt about him, like, was X'ing him out or, like, circled him and starring him. Man, I was so happy when he got to my page, and it was, like, all stars and happy faces, and, like, one of the best people ever, and I was just like... Oh.
Brennan's ego was like,
yes. Yeah, I know, his ego yes, struck
no, because he was cool. Like, I was I'm really great. Cool with him. Yep. Well, I mean, the thing is, he was a young black man, but he displayed a lot of tendencies towards being homosexual, and he got made a lot of fun of for that, and I never made fun of him for that. I didn't have a full understanding of what that was back then. But,
right.
Yeah.
For me, I actually did in college, right after, I think it was probably a year and a half or so after Virginia Tech happened, and I was at Cal State Dominguez Hills, Cal State Dominguez University out here in Carson. And we were in class, and somebody was like, all of a sudden, some girl got a text and said, somebody's outside with a shotgun, with a rifle.
Oh, my God. Mm.
And especially after Virginia Tech happened, the fucking panic that everybody had. They locked all classes. We cut the news on. People were following stuff on their phone. What was happening? Freaking the fuck out. That was when I wish I was like, I should have had a gun on me. That's when I was like, I should have had my gun license at this point in time.
Do you have it now?
I'm in the process of getting it. And so we were freaking out. I'm texting like my dad, my mom, my brother. I was just like, man, I don't know what's gonna happen. This is crazy. This is scary. So I'm just letting you know. It's all over the fucking news.
Jesus.
And then we find out that it was a kid. I guess that might have been a little slow. And he had the ROTC, and he had a wooden rifle. But they didn't know because it looked like a real rifle.
Yeah.
So they got him down. They made sure put the gun down. They got everything situated, but. It ended up being a wooden rifle, but they locked the fucking school down for, I would say, a good...
I have a question.
Maybe hour and a half, 2 hours?
How melanated was this person with a fake gun?
Melanin deficient.
Cool. Just curious, because I'm like, this story could have ended very differently.
He might have been... He's either Hispanic or white that can pass for white.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody else?
No, just like Brennan, I remember the drills, like after Columbine, like it was a regular thing, you know, just every once in a while we'd have like a, we did have lots of bomb scares, like bomb threats. We just have to go down to the gym and just like, it's one of those things you talk about it. It was so commonplace. Like I just didn't even think about it anymore. It's just like, okay, time to go to the gym, hang out for like 20 minutes and then just go back to the class. Mm. Nothing as serious as that. I think I remember one time when I was at Syracuse, there had been some shootings, not on campus, but like a few blocks away. And I remember we got like, you know, updates through our text, but it wasn't a campus lockdown. But yeah, no, just the regular old drills and, you know, elementary school, junior high, that stuff.
What school was it?
Syracuse?
No.
Oh, elementary?
I love it. Go ahead, Ice.
We didn't have really lockdowns. I went to the schools I went to in St. Louis weren't the greatest schools. I went to one of the like worst junior high schools. And worse, I mean like a lot of like bad activity happened there. So we had like lockdowns because a lot of the people I went to school with were either like up next to be one of the biggest drug dealers in our area, or they was connected to those people. So a lot of the times they would use their kids, either their younger brother or sometimes their sons, to push drugs through the school. So then we would have lockdowns where dogs would come do drug searches of people's lockers and stuff.
But, oh, we had that too.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. That's about as much of a lockdown. Because I remember one time it was like this kid, he was pushing weight through his brother. And it was like this big thing because he was like pushing the teachers and shit. Yeah. And they like locked the whole school down, bring the dogs out to check the lockers. And sure enough, he had like pounds in his fucking in his locker. So, yeah. But that's pretty much.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. And just real quick to wrap this up. I mean, I went to also HBCU to a black college, and there was a few shootings on campus and nobody gave a fuck. Like, that was the scary part about it. Mm. Like, I was there when that was when Virginia Tech actually happened. Mm. And shootings on campus, it was just like like most black schools are kind of like HBCUs are surrounded by
and God has spoken.
Most HBCUs are surrounded actually by like the hood or whatever like that. Yeah. God, so that's what they had it like it was normal. It was scary and fucking insane. So next question. This show actually kind of has some similar vibes here, man. So far, it's early. First few episodes. Do you think this show is kind of like retreading some kind of Tokyo Ghoul feels a little bit? Like, Rob, what do you feel?
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, it's early, but like you have, at least so far, like, you know, kind of timid, mild-mannered kid gets wrapped up into a world that it's like you pull the curtain back. Turns out there's all these other people kind of blending in with society that only he knows about, and they all have these like kind of blade powers that come out of them. It's and maybe these are just kind of tropes, you know, you see with anime, like a lot of some of the other things we see on, like, you know, action oriented animes that kind of follow the same path. We watch, like, you know, Blades of the Immortal versus you know, Samurai Champloo. There were some similarities there. I wonder if, like, with horror anime, if this is sort of like this happens a lot where like main character, you know, merges with some sort of monster thing, becomes something else, and now has to like basically fight them from the inside, you know, to be like, you know, humans are worth saving, right? Like that seems to be a similar fight. That being said, so far, I like the main character from this show much more than the main character from Tokyo Ghoul, who was a stone cold moron multiple times.
Yeah, multiple times. I mean, you're the Tokyo Ghoul guy here, Ice. You're
Tokyo
a fan.
Ghoul guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's in your top five. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I can see the similarities, especially when the actual blades come out. They do resemble the weapons and stuff from Tokyo Ghoul. Yeah. So I definitely can see it. I think I can see the comparisons for sure. I think the where Tokyo Ghoul kind of differs is they're actually ghouls that get along and have a society versus the parasites. They're pretty much, I know we talked about this last week, it's on site with like almost all of the parasites outside of A and Mrs.
Ryoko.
Yeah, Mrs. Ryoko. Yeah, outside
like, have sex.
Outside of that, it's like it's on site versus Tokyo Ghoul. They really have like the good guys, the bad guys, and then some of the motherfuckers in between.
Yeah, this almost feels like the early days of like the Tokyo Ghoul world where like ghouls were just starting to like pop up those murders were just starting to happen, and like they're still trying to figure out how the society works.
And I think that's it. When you talk about troops, I think that's throughout animes, I feel like that's a big one. It's like not necessarily a bad guy, but a bad guy that can infect another person and turn them, just like Demon Slayer. Like demons can turn people into demons. Like, that was one of the main things. It's like, oh, fuck, not only do you have to worry about fighting the demons, but we also have to worry about them turning other people into demons. So I think that's a thing that's like, not only is this enemy bad, but they can turn you into the enemy.
How about you, Brandon?
Yeah, what they said. I mean, honestly, like, Rob just hit the nail on the head. Tokyo Ghoul, the early stages, because it's like there isn't an established society. They haven't figured out how to integrate or... Because, you know, like one of the things that was said in this episode was the directive was to devour the species. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit different than Tokyo Ghoul, because they're like, their directive is to survive, but they only can survive by eating humans, not devouring the species.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So for me, this kind of feels... If I was to say another anime this reminds me of that's really a little bit far-fetched, but the same kind of thing... would actually be the Dragon Ball series, is because they would send Saiyans to a planet to eradicate that planet, and so they could set it up for sale. Mm. So that's what this feels like to me thus far, is like they send their messengers to whatever the planet or whatever they are, and just like, hey, just kill everything, take it over. And
but the Saiyans knew what was going on. I feel like these parasites...
Goku didn't. That's what I'm saying. Like when Goku would sit there as a child, he sent there as a little baby with a directive they put in his head to kill everyone. You know what I'm saying? As soon as a moon pops up, kill him. Like if you watch Dragon Ball, like Goku wasn't like
I
super.
I think it's putting a pop up and just kill. I think it's like once the moon hits, you're gonna spaz out.
You're gonna spaz out anyway.
Yeah, no, but they still. Anyway. But they talk about that. That was a directive that he had. It's like before he hit his head with Grandpa Gohan, he was a violent little motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like he was trying to kill things anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, and then he turns to the gorilla and he's supposed to kill everything on the planet eventually. But that's the same thing as this. Is they do it differently. Like, okay, let's just spatter them across the whole world, and y'all just go kill everything. You know, so for me, that's one of the connection lines I drew, is that like, okay, maybe they're getting the planet ready for an invasion, you know, or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna piggyback off that. We can go to the next question, but it's a piggyback off Rob's question.
Now you got 40 seconds. You ain't got nothing to say.
No, I mean, I agree. I think it's definitely when even when he shot me the question, I was just like, oh shit, that makes perfect sense. That is very similar. But let's go over to the next question, which is a kind of a piggyback off it. Who is better, Zenichi or Kaneki? So I know for me, just out the gate, Kaneki was a bitch. Like it was like him and Senji are the two that we've seen here. Some of the two of the biggest whiny bitches that we've seen in this anime. I feel like Senji, right?
Senji, yeah,
Senji. He I feel like he adjusted well. I feel like he adjusted well. He didn't at least. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I'm watching the dub version, so it might be different. I don't know. But he wasn't as fucking whiny for like four episodes. His whininess was kind of like very quick, and it was moments. He had moments where he was just like, all right, this is kind of crazy, but I'm here. So I would definitely pick him, at least for these first four episodes. I can't say how it's going to end, because it might end trash. Because at the end of Tokyo Ghoul Season 1, kind of he turned the fuck up. Like he turned it all the way up. And I was like, okay, this is where we at. Season 2 could be fire. So what do you guys think, Brennan?
I'm going to give it to, at the moment, I mean, we're only four episodes in, so it's hard to
go off the first four. Just the first four.
I like this character more, for sure. I mean.
Not who you like better, who would win in the fight.
No, I'm saying who you like better as a...
Oh, I thought you said who would win.
In a fight, I didn't say who would
It'd
win.
It'd be the same answer at the moment, because my man doesn't need to know how to fight. The parasite does it. And the parasite has been proven to be extremely lethal.
Not even just that. The parasite knows how to fight, but then he's also tapped into where he can still do some things while the parasite's going to work.
Yeah, so
whereas
it's like,
Kaneki, I don't know if he was doing it.
The big difference here is that, you know, he stabbed the guy, like, on the first try. The first time he was asked to do something, really.
Got it done.
He pulled up and he stabbed my man in the heart and gave him a fatal wound. First time he was tested. Now, was he feeling good about it? No. Would I be feeling good about it? No. Would I do it? I'd hope so. Because if not, he's dead. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, that's an easy answer for me. Because he, you know, he isn't eager to be in this world, but he's adjusting to it pretty reasonably for a teenager, I'd say.
What about you? Both. So who would you pick, and then who would win?
I like Zenichi better because I like his progression of trying to figure it out, and I feel like it's plausible because he's like, okay, what the fuck is this? And him trying to kill his hand and then developing stuff and like, okay, this is what I got to do. I like that, and he's about it. Kaneki is like a little hoe until the end, but first four episodes in, if they got into a fight, Kaneki would mop the floor with him just because he just has a better weapon. Like,
Weapon was a beast. It was.
Yeah, like, he would mop the floor with it, and it's a distance weapon. Like, his parasite can move a little bit, but not like Kaneki's, I forgot what his thing called, but whatever it is, like, his weapons is not even close. Like, if they got into a fight, he would mop the floor with them. And the part of that, he's part ghoul, so, like, that blow that he did to the parasite and killed him, that wouldn't have killed Kaneki.
Yeah,
Kaneki just would have looked at it like, oh, that's nice, and then fucked him up.
Yeah, I think I can see that. I can see his weapon just being his weapon's more of just like an actual motherfucking beast, like just trying to slaughter you.
Yeah.
What about you, Rob?
Yeah. I would say so far I like Zenichi better as a character. He's easier to watch because of all the things you guys said. Even before he stabs that dude, when Migi is telling him to run from that dude, he's like, no, I'm going to lure him away from everybody else. I'm going to confront this dude. Like, he's immediately about, like, I have to save people. Right. That being said, I feel like Kaneki's journey was a little bit more believable to me is that, like, Zenichi adjusted so fast. Like, he went from, like, oh, he's just like a dude that's afraid of bugs to, like, turning around and telling people on the street, like, I will fucking eat you alive, dude. Right. Like, that. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, I mean, I can definitely see the change, you know. So there were moments where I was just like, I felt like he changed a little bit too much, too fast. That being said, I don't know. I was kind of like, I don't know, Kaneki or Zenichi, I think, would win this fight, but I think even in this first four episodes, I think I would give it to Kaneki, because in the first four episodes of Tokyo Ghoul, like, Kaneki's power is more akin to like a Gohan, a Uzaru Gohan or an Uzaru Goku that has lost their mind. Like, when he goes, when he turns up, he's like, he's all the way. He's out of fucking control.
Yeah.
And he kind of gets back there by the end of that season. Yeah. But he can't, you know, his power is too raw.
Yeah.
So we'll see, you know, where these two people end up. I mean, like you mentioned, in the opening, like, thing, you kind of see he turns into, I don't know, some dude who looks like DA. This guy looks like he's going to, like,
piss me off, because I was looking and then I started putting it together. I'm like, oh my God, that's him.
I hit skip intro on Netflix.
Skip intro, and it takes me right to that frame.
It takes you right to that frame.
Oh, it didn't know mine.
Yeah, it goes to it, and he's just there, like, with the fucking, with Mimiki, with Mini, whatever his name is, and then just like,
he looks hair slicked back like totally Phoenix Wright or some shit.
Yeah, it does, it does take you there. My bad. Yeah. All right, cool.
That pissed me off.
Fucking anime intros, man. I hate them.
They're so trash. And they do it. It's consistent. You want to talk about tropes? Like, that's a fucking trope that's consistent. Let's give the whole show away. And then the parts that's even worse is they update the show and update the fucking trailer to give it away again.
The new season. They're like, and here's all the new spoilers.
The Easter egg, I think, in there. Yeah. So next question. In there, the parents are pretty much saying, like we talked about earlier, about like, oh, let's just go on a trip without our son.
Mm.
Are y'all taking a trip without y'all kids? Nice.
Man, you don't ask my questions anymore at all, do you?
Brandon, what the fuck are you talking about? I literally asked your question.
Which one?
I asked a lockdown school. What are you talking about?
Okay, you said you asked like two of your questions. The parasite question.
I just see he never scrolls down to mine.
The second one.
Look, I want to feel some type of way, sir.
Brandon wants attention so bad.
God, what
about my question?
Yeah. I want attention. My attention?
I go out of order normally, one a piece. Then out of order. Don't start the clock yet, motherfucker.
Just say,
then two apiece. Yeah. Then twos. Then threes. Depending on how much questions I ask. Man, cool. Answer your damn question, man. This.
Not at this age. At this age, when my Icy is 10, I want him to explore the world, and I want to go places with him, and I would take him at this point.
How old is he?
10.
He's 10?
Dude's about to be 11 this year. Yeah.
No, I'm talking. I'm sorry. I apologize. How old is our main character in this?
Oh,
show?
He's like a senior in high school.
No, he's like 18. He's like 17.
He's like 17.
17, 18. You can do whatever the fuck you want to come. You can come, but I'm not. I don't feel bad at that age. At my kid's age right now, I would feel bad taking all these trips without him because these are the experiences that he can experience and grow up with. Now, you know, 18, 17, you can come if you want to, but I would.
You're paying your own way. You got a job, boy.
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't have no issue. I wouldn't feel bad about leaving his ass.
It's funny when you were Brandon was like, the main character is 10 years old, and in anime, I was gonna be like, what are you talking about? But then in anime, these 14, 15, grown these kids looking like
remember Kuwabara from Yu Yu Hakusho?
Kuwabara looks like he's 30.
Yeah,
ridiculous,
he does.
Man. What about you, Rob?
I kind of want to echo what I said. I think there's, you know, even back to like talking about, you know, privacy for your kids. I feel like there's a certain age, like, of course you take your kids. You know, maybe if it's like you know, you're getting out of town for the night for like an anniversary or something. You don't bring the kid along for that, obviously, right, you know, yeah, stuff yeah. like that. Leaving with your
just
grandma,
how he was
leave,
made.
You yeah. know, yeah. But, yeah, no, I definitely take the kid along for the most part. Maybe if they're in like high school age, I could be like, all right, like you and your mom, me and your mom are trying to get out of town for a little while. Like you're cool, right? Like
right.
just, you can have a party, just like keep it chill. Like, yeah. you know, be responsible. Mm. Yeah.
Brennan?
You know, I don't know. Cause I just remember, I don't know. It's a really different question when you have one child versus sure. having multiple. So like I had a twin brother and an older sister. Mm. I never had the feeling of being left home alone. You right. know what I'm saying?
Got it.
Like there was true. Always somebody else there for me. So it's hard for me to even imagine be like, yeah, when you're like 17, would you be left home alone? Like I know myself at 17. Like I would probably have children. You know what I'm saying? Or if I wanted, I mean, actually, no. I had no self-confidence and I would have nothing. I would try to have.
Were you balding yet?
Huh?
Were you balding yet?
Remember you said he bought it like at early, 19.
Like 19, yeah. 20.
Oh, okay. So you so. Was you still had hair then?
Yeah, I still had hair. Okay. I look different. I look very different with hair. I actually look older with hair
he does.
Than yeah, I do
saw,
now.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
Yeah.
It makes your chin look longer.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't even know that
what
was
do
a
you
shot
say to that?
I don't know yeah. that was a shot, but I feel
yeah,
like
what
was,
was that? Like,
I
what
feel like it was an honest opinion, but it was like covered by a shot, like yeah. camouflaged by a shot at the same time.
I don't even know what to do with that. But what I would say is that I feel like what my parents did a really good job of is when they raised us, they did a really good job of giving us freedom as we got older. And so, like, when we were younger, like, super strict, and then as I got, you know, especially through the teenage years, they would just give us freedoms and let us do things more. So I do remember them leaving us as a group at the house more. It might have been because my sister is the most responsible human being on the planet, acting like an adult when she was, like, five. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and by the time she left, she's only 2 years older than me. I was already 17, 18 anyway. Mm. And so our parents would leave us. But they never did some shit like leave for a week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that'd
like,
be a long time.
They're like, we're going out to dinner tonight or something sure. like that. But I don't think I'd leave my non-of-age child in the house for a week. No.
Too long.
This just seems like liability. That's all I can see. Yeah. It's like, if anything happens, it's my fault. And do I trust a 17-year-old kid with my property?
Fair.
No. I don't yeah. care who that kid is. My kid, whoever's kid, you can have a day at most.
You know what? Yeah, I think I would... Because my parents left us at home early because they had to work and stuff like that. So yeah. we were like around 8, 7 years old. We were like in the house by ourselves for like hours. I just feel like it might depend on the child and the age. So like if I know my child's pretty responsible, a week is just out of the fucking question. But like yeah. maybe 2 days, if I'm like my kid's pretty responsible and stuff like that, or hopefully like they're even like a if they're like a not hopefully but like if they are like a super nerd where they're just like I just love reading in books anyway, yeah. then I'd be like oh cool he's gonna be reading playing video games all day I'm not necessarily tripping on that but if I know I got a kid that I'm like every time I got a oh, you had a girl in the house again without us knowing oh hell nah yeah. I'm gonna bring somebody over there personally that I know is a strict person. To be in there just cock blocking on purpose.
So if we touring or something, say Bonfire Stories has on go on a tour, what you gonna bring somebody over there to watch them?
It depends on the age. Yeah, if I had like a 4 year old, if my lady's not staying at home because you know since she's a writer or whatever like that, like she might be at the crib more. Then I would oh shit, because who would I trust? Because
yeah, that's the other question.
You'll be out here touching it, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know yeah. what to do. I can't go nowhere.
You can't win.
Oh, that's time.
All right. So another question, real quick.
Can you ask Brendan's question, please?
Yeah,
so
that's what I was
crying.
Getting to.
Thank you.
So we'll circle back to one of
so
the
he can stop
questions.
Fucking crying. Actually, just rattle off the rest of his questions so he can shut the fuck up.
Hi, Ice. How are you today?
I'm feeling
oh, gosh. What about me? Okay, as a child, have you ever had to keep an adult type of secret? Brennan.
Actually, for me, it's funny is that I couldn't think of anything.
You would just be trying to get shit out of us.
Yeah.
Which is fair. I mean, I get that.
Yeah, no, but the thing is, I thought I'm asking questions that I think will be interesting conversations. Mm-hmm. So for me, I didn't really have that. But at the same time, like I told you, I grew up with a twin brother and an older sister. Mm-hmm. I was the baby by 2 minutes. So it was like, for me, I got to live in a bubble. Me and my brother lived in this like kid bubble our whole lives where we just got to do whatever we wanted to do when it comes to like, all right, we've arrived to a new place. Brennan allows to go play. And that's what we would do.
Is your sister older or younger?
Older.
2 years older.
Oh, 2 years older.
Yeah, and my sister was always in the adult world. So she'd go sit with the adults mm-hmm. and like she would know all the adult secrets. If I asked her this question, she'd be like, oh my God. You know, she knew everything. Like for me, I'm still learning shit that
That's what always happens. Yeah.
I'm still learning stuff. Like, wait, what?
Those family secrets be fucking you up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Those family secrets be on another. You are full of shit. those family secrets be on another level.
No, I mean, so for me, like, I found out a family secret recently, but I didn't know it as a kid. That was pretty crazy, is that my great-grandfather had a child by his secretary, who is technically my great-uncle. Yeah. No, my uncle.
What?
So my great-grandfather, so my grandmother's father, yeah, was the first real estate broker in Flint, mm-hmm, black real estate broker in Flint. Mm-hmm. And he had a secretary, and that secretary had a child that was his. Is my, what I'm saying.
That generation was known for having whole families down the street.
Whole families, yes. That's a lot of my family secret is like, you know why he call him uncle, right? But you never thought of who his dad was? Yeah. He'd be like, wait, what? Oh, shit! Yeah. Yeah. He'd be like, what the fuck?
You know, it's funny. For me personally, I've had to. I know my brother for a fact, since he's older than me, like a year and a half or so older than me. He's had to keep a lot more than I have. But there's so much shit that has went down just in our household that my brother and I had to keep a secret that we have probably. I mean, I say some of it on stage. Especially if you've been to Bonfire Stories.
Oh man,
you might hear it now. Yeah. But like for the longest, that shit was embarrassing. That shit was there was no jokes in that. That was all a dark time for me. But all people will see, they always see like Keenan's this kid that smiles and laughs all the time. It's like, you had the easiest life in the world. I was like, oh, you think.
So the only thing I can say about Keenan, as I say about anyone who was raised in California, specifically Southern California, is you were spoiled by weather. Mm-hmm. And nobody, you cannot argue with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. When you're getting abused in great weather, it takes all the difference away. No problem.
I didn't say anything about the abuse. I didn't say anything about that. Damn. I said you got spoiled. But you could drive to the beach and cry. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, like, for me, it's just like, old,
I got snow.
I'm going to take the bus from to the beach.
To the beach.
Take a bus to the beach, bro. Like, get your feelings out. Yell like at the ocean.
Tears are freezing mid-face, meanwhile, up in Flint.
Yeah, it's like out in Flint, Michigan, bro.
That was the most tone-deaf shit I've ever heard.
Oh, hilarious.
It wasn't really. That's one thing I always, because the thing is, it's literally talking about weather. So it's just like, yeah, like everybody has a different experience. But one thing I'm always like jealous of is people who grew up in Southern California. It's like, you don't really know cold. And that was one of the like the most horrible things ever.
I don't care to know it. Huh? I don't care to know it.
You shouldn't care to know it. I don't recommend it. It sucks.
All right, Rob, what about you, man?
I kind of like Brennan. I feel like, especially because I was an only child, it was like there was the adult stuff and then there was me, and I lived in that bubble that like my parents kind of, they were like, they told me stuff sometimes, but usually by the time they told me, it was like, it was out there. Then again, when I turned older, like I got to college age, then stuff started like, oh shit, kind of like Ice was saying, like, oh, now I'm finding out stuff. I'm like, oh, that's why, my cousin did that. Yeah. Like, oh, that's why you didn't want me hanging out with them. Like, so it never as a child, like the family secret stuff didn't start coming out until, you know, college age probably. Yeah. I definitely lived in a bubble for a long time.
Yeah. You know, just to piggyback, because we can go to, this is technically the next question, but it kind of goes, oh, my bad.
Wait, what?
Go ahead. I thought I answered. My bad, bro. Go ahead. My bad.
You got a minute and a half left. All right, fuck it. Let's keep going.
Nobody.
I was like, why did it sound so long? All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I had some stuff. It was just more so of me putting stuff together at a young age, but I just kept it to myself. Then I asked my mom when I was older. It's like, hey, mom, like, because growing up, my mom and my dad never lived together. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, hey, mom, like, why the fuck did you guys never live together my entire life? He's like, well, actually, your dad, is like, oh, okay, mm-hmm, but you see stuff as a kid, but you just don't put it together. And I think it's just one of those things too, is like you don't hang with certain people, and it's like, hey, why did this cousin come around and then all of a sudden fucking disappear? Like that was my dog, like what happened to him? Oh, actually
his mother did this. Like, yeah, it always goes back. It's like, yo, I had that happen with my cousins too, my favorite,
and they be your dogs. And then just one day without warning, they just fucking disappear.
It might be the movie Soul Food. Remember Soul Food, he was eating the smashing the cousin. He was married.
And it's just like, what? That was,
I forgot about
six.
That.
Yeah, he had to go there.
Yeah.
So this kind of goes off, like, this, I guess it's a two-parter, I guess, in that. Is there anybody if this happened to you, this particular situation happened to you, what kind of he's saying, do you trust anybody in the world who you can tell this to be like, yo, I need to tell you this because this shit is crazy. So if something happens, this is what's going on. For me personally, it's definitely my brother, my older brother. I feel like we tell each other for the most part everything that at least I can think of, and I'm not afraid. There's nothing that I have that I won't tell him. I feel like if this thing happens, I'm like, Corey, look, yo, man, dog. Yeah, I mean, it gives good blowjobs.
I knew you were going
to come back.
I had to call him back. I'm a comedian, man. I got to do a call back.
Call back. Call back.
Stop. Stop. You stop right now. You stop, Ice. No. No. What were you saying, Keenan? Please continue.
No, fuck
Ice.
That.
No.
Are you giving Corey a blowjob with your hand?
I knew he was going to say that.
No.
I knew he was going to say that.
Fuck no.
No, why? Why?
It's at the end of the day. Rob is out of here.
Rob put
I'm engaged. That's the thing. At the end of the day, it's attached to my arm. My private part attached to my arm. I already jerk off, so it's not. It's just that's different.
No, how is that any different?
It's my body part.
I don't want to go back to the ice zone.
It's not your tongue.
But it's
the same logic that you used for that one. It should apply.
Here's why it's not the same. At the end of the day, I have to reach my arm over to my brother and do that. That's disgusting.
What if you detach it? What if you detach it? It was 3 minutes.
If I don't know about it and I'm asleep, my brother's like, hey, come over here real quick. And I'm just knocked out and my arm just detaches itself and does it. Ain't nothing I can do about it at that point.
Oh, my God.
Ain't nothing that I can do. I'm not saying I want it.
Oh, my God.
But ain't nothing I can do at that point.
That is
I feel
sick.
Like we need to give Keenan a name, too.
Brandon's face.
All right. All right. Rob.
What was the original question?
Yeah,
again?
What the hell are we talking
the
about?
The question was, because I answered it. I said, this type of secret.
Oh, yeah. Who would you tell?
Do you trust anybody to tell you?
I don't know that I tell anybody this. If it were like the ghoul situation, I feel like there are maybe some people I could trust with that information, but I don't know that I tell anybody this specifically because I don't know that I trust the parasite that it's attached to, attached to me.
Yeah, the idea that
he could just be fucking listening in and he's just like, if you tell somebody and they become a liability.
Which he said that, didn't he?
Yeah, he's like, if you tell your parents, like,
I will fucking kill them.
I will kill them.
Yeah.
So it's less about if I trust them, more about do I trust this thing, and
plausible
I don't.
You know what, now I know if that's the case, because I forgot about that part, I would definitely tell my worst enemy.
There you go.
Let's
bury the hatchet. Wait, yeah, I want to tell you something.
Hold on a second.
So you're a murderer.
No, thank you. I was
no, the parasite's a murderer. I'm not a murderer.
No, you're a murderer.
But
he legit said, I don't want to finish
the
job because I don't want to be a murderer.
If the parasite goes, hey, man, something might happen, I'm like, oh, let's see what's going to happen.
See, you keep using the logic when you want to use it.
Don't get on Keenan's bad side. Is the
it
goal,
is because you're not a murderer, but at the same time, if you give your brother a blowjob, you're not get like. Which one is it? You got to hold yourself accountable.
Ice, just answer the question.
You got to hold yourself accountable for all of the stuff that your hand does.
You have to for your question for your answer.
Leap of
no.
Can I?
No.
If you're not going to answer, go ahead.
What's the question again?
Would you trust anybody to tell somebody about this?
I would approach it a very specific way. What I would do is make sure that Miggy understood what trust is first.
Great.
I would say, do you understand trust? And I would establish trust with Miggy. And if I felt that I had established that trust and I felt good about it, then I would talk to Miggy and say, I want to tell my brother about this. And here's why. And if Miggy was on board, you know what I'm saying? If Miggy was like, okay, I see the logic. This makes sense. Mm. He can help us. Or if Miggy's like, no, don't do it, then I'm not telling him. I don't tell nobody nothing.
Right.
If Miggy tells me not to do it, like, Miggy's in control here. As we learned in one of those episodes, Miggy was just like, oh, by the way, I can sever your, like, whatever, and I could just, you know, run this shit.
Yeah, I'll take your tongue, your eyes, ears, all that shit.
Yeah, I can take all your senses away, and we could be like that. You know, that's what it is. So for me, I personally say that it really depends on how Miggy feels. Because that's what my new life is now.
Yeah. You could write out a note with your left hand all scrawled,
you
like
could.
A ransom letter or some shit.
But at the same time, like, what if Miggy finds out and kills your brother, kills whoever?
Ice,
so for me,
let Ice wrap it up. It's like about 45 seconds.
Plausible deniability. Nobody's gonna know anything just to keep him safe. That's it. And I also want to say that.
Here we go.
You gotta hold yourself accountable for what
I
your
knew
hand
he was
does.
Gonna bring it back.
Everything
God
that the hand
it.
Does, you are accountable for.
You're at the end of the day, you're a murderer, regardless. If that's the case, when it comes to if you're talking about that. You're this thing. You're a murderer. You killed a dog already.
That's fine. But you got
to
take that.
Not to PETA. It ain't fine. Ask Michael Vick. That motherfucker did 2 years.
Still.
All right, then.
You still got to take it.
You're at least accessory.
All right. We can do one more question. And this is another Brennan question. We'll wrap it up on his question since he loves himself so much. All right.
What's wrong with self-confidence?
Rob is
my self-esteem balloon. Self-esteem balloon is here.
All right. This is an interesting question by
because
Brennan.
Of why it came. What it came from has made it interesting to me.
Okay.
Do you remember the moment?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Have you ever had a partner do mouth tricks to impress you in public, i.e., tie a cherry stem in their mouth? Brennan.
So first of all, this came from that moment of the threat.
Yeah.
Which was crazy. Yeah. That we didn't even talk about yet. Because, like, she was just like, yeah, like, you know, we can either be cool or we can have a problem. And puts a metal spoon in her mouth and pulls it out. And it is rolled in a, it is rolled up. And I saw that. I was just like, this is the opposite of any form of turn on. Yeah. And just for the record, Keenan and Rob, that's what happens when you put your dick in a parasite's mouth. But I digress.
When they hate you.
Just saying, if it can do that to a spoon, you put your most sensitive part. Okay.
Yeah. Shit is gone.
I didn't say I was thinking straight.
Shut up, Rob.
That's the real mincemeat killer right there.
So the reason that was the two reasons I asked this question was number one, that. And number two, my mom taught me a horrible thing as a kid that I didn't know was a horrible thing until I was older. Is that my mom taught me, my brother, and my sister how to tie a cherry stem in your mouth. She taught us how to do it. And I didn't know that was anything in any way of being suggestive. Because it's like, you eat a cherry, just put the whole cherry in your mouth, and then you just like, bloop, and it's tied in a knot. And so I was just like, I could do this little trick. It's really cool. And I remember like in middle school, I did that, and everybody was like, you're gay. Immediately, they were all just like, you are so gay. And I'm like, what? How does this make me gay? Like, yeah. I don't get it. Now I'm like, oh.
Poor young Brennan.
I had some time.
You know what's funny about that is that all those type of tricks like that always happen in middle school or high school. When I got older, a girl never said, "Yo, I want to show you something with my mouth real quick." Like a girl was like, "I can kind of like unwrap this gum in my mouth without like, I think she said either getting the gum wet or doing something. I can just undo it in my mouth." And I was like, "Oh,
without getting the gum wet?"
She did. It was something crazy like that. And I was
she said
like,
I could put a wrapped piece of gum in my mouth and
unwrap the whole piece of gum.
See,
and
that's the kind of parasite I'm talking about.
And it's still intact. Like it's not bent up or nothing like that. Now this is in middle school.
Like you mean like a long triangle,
long piece. It was still wet, but it was just like pretty much it won't get bent up at all. So she was able to unwrap it with her tongue, get the whole gum out, and then just take the wrapper out.
Rob and Keenan, this is the type of. Okay,
that's okay.
So yeah, that right there to me, okay.
I bet the parasite could do that shit too.
I have seen it, and I have. That's absolutely true.
I hate you, Rob.
But that's
you
what I'm
go,
saying.
Y'all fucking nasty. Y'all gonna be having the parasite watching YouTube tutorials on how to fucking.
They're already
do
doing
that
their own
shit.
Thing.
So, the parasite's so gonna be like, parasite's gonna
listen,
be like, "What's
have
a
you heard of grapefruiting?"
Parasite's gonna be like, "Wait, can I get a grapefruit? Like warm water and a grapefruit?"
Help you with your studies.
You gonna be having.
But Cameron, you know what grapefruit it is, right? Oh, he knows. Yeah. He knows.
But that's the thing. Yeah. It's like that stuff was happening, and which is kind of crazy. That shit that was happening to me in middle school when I was being told that. I can't even imagine. Like, have any of you guys?
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah. Like you were saying, I feel like it didn't happen. Like once you get past a certain age, but like it was one of those like dumb tricks that girls did when.
What trick did you get?
It wasn't tying a cherry stem. No, I dated this girl that could. I can't even do it. She could like basically inhale and like make her tongue like wave back and forth, like up and down.
I've seen it before.
You've seen that before?
Yeah, that would be crazy.
Yeah. No, so it was, I mean, like I said, we dated
this girl.
You mean
did.
Like flap like a flag?
Like, yeah, I can't even like
do the worm basically with her mouth.
And a girl knew how to twist her whole tongue in a circle like that, just her tongue. Go ahead.
I've seen people do like just tricks with their tongue, but nothing like food related. That whole cherry thing, I only saw that on like TV. I never seen it in real life.
I seen a girl do it in middle.
You'll never see me do it. Tell you that. You'll never see me
do it in front of a lady. She'll be like, "Okay, brother, you out here with it."
Nah, bro.
All right.
The wrong person could be looking. I have been traumatized by that. Just like you'll never see me wear sweatpants again. Certain things traumatize me, and I don't do it no more.
You don't wear. Why don't you wear sweatpants?
Leaving that story for another day.
We got 53 seconds.
I'm sure to come.
I said another day.
Okay. This. So we're gonna get to the ratings now. So this
what were you talking about? Our parts, or is that after, or is it right now?
The ratings is your parts.
Okay.
You're gonna give your ratings. You're gonna give your partner ratings. Okay, so. Sure. So this is Aisha's pick. So he's gonna go last in this one. I'll go first actually. For me, the first four episodes was enjoyable. I enjoyed it. It was it did give me Tokyo Ghoul vibes. Once Rob kind of brought that up and I looked at it and I was just like, I hope he doesn't go that route. Really, because I mean, Tokyo Ghoul was a little for me first season. Anyways, I feel like season two will turn the hell up. I only care about Migi, whatever the thing is called, the hand
Migi.
That's all I care about. I don't care about the girl that he has a crush on. I don't care about his parents. Mm. I don't care about him.
His dad's kind of cool though.
His dad's kind of a dad.
Yeah,
I like that.
I like his dad,
but I still don't necessarily care that much. It's like, oh, episode five, got to see his pops going to like doing something. Like I don't like even him as a main character. Like I don't. If it's always attached to somebody else, I'd be like, oh, that's fine. The pregnant chick?
You like her?
Ryoko?
Oh, yeah. I think she's cool so far, but I still want to see. And
she's about to light them up.
And I guess we're only four episodes in, so I'm not going to sit there and get mad where I need to know who the villain exactly is. I feel like she's not going to be the main villain.
No.
But as of right now, I would give this a strong 6,000. Give it a strong 6,000. Rob?
Very similar things. It's all right for me so far. You know, I enjoyed these four episodes. They were all right. I wasn't over the moon about it, but I didn't hate it either. It definitely got Tokyo Ghoul vibes. Right now, it seems a little bit like a little bit Monster of the Week sort of thing. We'll see if it starts to get away from that a little
that
bit
was
more.
So during the Demon Slayer saga, please.
Yeah, just so like he's not just like, all right, who's the parasite I got to fight this episode? You know, we'll see if it breaks away from that formula. I hope it does. And hopefully, we'll get to a little bit more from these characters because Kenan's right. Like, I didn't mention his girlfriend in this like my synopsis much at all because she's not important.
Nobody gave a
wait,
shit.
Wait, are they actually together?
They went to the pancake house or whatever.
And they didn't talk about it.
Then she grabbed the other hand because she felt something weird.
But they didn't talk about it, huh? But you just calling it that? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, well,
just,
whatever.
That's a tricky thing in the dating world nowadays.
I'm just saying. Me too movement out here.
Go on a date.
Me too movement out here. Rob making assumptions.
There's some Evangelion stuff coming back.
I'm not putting any labels on it, all right?
You put a label on it. You said this.
They went on a date.
Doesn't mean they're together. Man, oh, he owns her now. They're together.
That's
nice to know, Rob.
That's not what I said.
His girlfriend, that is not a form of ownership.
I would hate to be talking to you.
All right, they're a couple.
No, this is. I still got feelings about this man.
They're seeing each other.
There you go. That's how you say it. Good job.
Anyway.
I own you.
So she's just only there to be, you know, a romantic interest at this point. She's not becoming her own character. So I want to see more of that. I hope his mom becomes more of a character because clearly they developed their relationship a little bit in that last episode. She cares about him, protects him. All that to say, yeah, it's all right. We'll see where it's going. I'm at a 5,800.
Okay. Brennan?
Very similar vibes. I think Rob and I actually had talked on the phone the other day about this, and I told him, I was like, my favorite part of the show by far is the parasite. I like that kind of character that's like hyperlogical. And just like, wait, what is this? Emotion? For what? You know, kind of thing. I really like that. I like his learning capabilities. I like how it's able to turn itself into a gun and all that. Kenan made a good point. There isn't much character development outside of that. Outside of the woman. I like her too.
Yeah.
She's very interesting. And like when she like was ready to square up, it was just like, oh, we're going to lose. You know what I'm saying? Like Mickey was like, oh, that's a second variation problem. Yeah. Like we should run. We're too close. Yeah. You know? So for me, I'm enjoying it. This is an anime that I haven't found a reason that I wouldn't want to watch yet. I think I might have a little bit of like not scorched earth, but like, I don't know what the word is for it, but because of how bad Blade of the Immortal was, maybe I'm enjoying this that much more. Mm. But it's funny, actually, the rating you guys gave was the same rating I was going to say. I was going to say 6,000 out of 9,000.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. I like this show. It's pretty cool. I can see the Tokyo Ghoul. I didn't really trip off of it till right now, kind of like Kenan said. When you said it, I was like, okay. When you started putting it together, I can definitely see it. It's fun. Coming off of Blades of the Immortal, I hopefully can see this being very action-oriented. I think the first four episodes of really any anime outside of maybe fucking Demon Slayer is not networking. They always have to settle in and like get you acclimated with the characters.
Yeah, Demon Slayer move fast.
Yeah.
Huh?
I said Demon Slayer moves so fast.
Yeah, like they're fucking net breaking speed. So it's like that's usually they're an anomaly for sure. So I think this is what your run of the mill first four episodes looks like to show, like, hey, this is what it look this what it will look like moving forward. Mm-hmm. I think they will be more action oriented. Either I hope, because I wasn't a super fan of the fight scenes. I think it was more of a cerebral thing, and it was more so you rooting for Shinichi and hoping that, like, okay, you have to take over this fight and help Miniki. Overall, it's cool. 62,000, what did I give it?
6,200?
6,200, yes.
62,000?
62,
like, what? This is the greatest, fucking, the greatest four episodes I've ever seen in my entire life. 62,000. 6,200, yeah.
That's crazy. All right, so far, I mean, yeah, I feel like we're even across the board with this as a squad. Tell us what y'all think, man.
What about the exact
favorite and least favorite moments?
Yeah,
okay.
That's
what, oh, yeah, my bad. I didn't talk about that from last time. My bad. So,
hold on. We're not going to give them shit?
Yeah. I fucking asked you. Asked you before you did it. You said, yeah, we're going to do it when we give it a ratings. And then you didn't do it.
No, you were saying we're going to talk about our our parts. So
I said our favorite parts. I said we're going to do our favorite parts, right? He's like, yeah, we're going to do it in the rating.
Favorite parts, but I was thinking about the favorite parts and the least favorite parts. So,
my favorite part.
Jesus.
I had a tie between two. One of them was the moment when they were like, what is this baby? And really questioning themselves. Like, yo, like, what are we to, you know, to be able to look at a baby this way inside of us, like, and that we eat each other? Like, what are we? I think it's really interesting to see a species question itself, because we normally don't see that. Like, humans do that, but you don't see anything else normally do that. Even in anime, you know what I'm saying? Like, you normally don't see, it's like, what is my purpose? What am I here? What am I? I also really like the relationship between, obviously, Miggy and his kid. Like, I think that's pretty dope. Those are my two favorite parts. And my least favorite part was the ridiculous privilege of the woman with the baby when her mama came in the house. And so for me, when I watched it, I mistakenly called it white privilege, but just privilege in general and stupidity of saying, oh, you're not my daughter. I'm going to call the police. Like, you think nothing's going to happen between you getting to the phone, dialing the number, saying that you need the police, and then the police arriving? How stupid and illogical is that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. That was like the dumbest moment of the show. It's because it's just like, if you notice, if you're the mom and you notice that shit, and she says she's about to leave anyway.
Yeah, I'm about to call the police. Where's your phone?
Exactly. It's like, it's more so like, she's like, I'm about to leave. She looks at her and is like, what? I'd be like, nothing. I'll see you when you get back, and then I call the police.
I think that's and we're gonna get to everybody's right now, but I think that's just a street smart thing and not a street smart thing. I think as a parent, you're going in to help my child mode or to do something, because this is my child, something's not right, I gotta solve this issue right now. So I wouldn't say I get why you would say it's the dumbest thing,
super dumb.
I don't think it was, because I know how some parents might act that way. My favorite moment was I guess it might even be a small moment to you guys, but pretty much when in the school, when he was saying like, let's just use everybody as a human shield. And he was kind of like, no, like, I think he's teaching the parasite a little bit of humanity right there. Like, bro, like, I just can't, I know you want to go to work and do what you got to do, but like, so many people are my friends. Like, some of these are human. I just can't go around killing random human lives for like no reason. Like, if somebody's attacking us, even if they're attacking us, when he stabbed dude, he was like, I can't just have you kill him, man. I can't. I'm not that dude. So that was one of my favorite moments. I guess I can't really say I had a least favorite moment in this. There were moments that just like whatever to me. So I mean, yeah, I didn't really have a really moment that I hated in this. What about you, Rob?
Favorite moment would probably be I liked that scene when he was on the date with the girl that he's seeing. And they come across the
Petty. Well put, Rob. I'm happy you've learned
Petty Fonda over here.
That language matters.
But when they come across those bullies, you know, fucking around with that cat, and he steps up and saves them. just because, you know, characters I sort of gravitate towards. I kind of do like him as a character because I gravitate towards characters that are mild-mannered, but they have that side. They have that level they can go to, like a Gohan. You know, as long as they have that level, I can kind of vibe with that character. So for me, that was a moment where I was like, all right, I am interested to see where this guy goes. So I thought that was cool, especially like he just snatched those three stones like out of the sky. He was just like, I'll fucking kill you.
With his back turned?
I thought that was cool. Least favorite moment, I'm kind of with Keenan. I didn't really have a moment that I was like, oh, I hated this. I will say, my biggest gross out moment was when it was in the first episode when that like corgi turned its head inside out and like it turned its like brains into like membrane wings or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, this is sick. Like I'm literally nauseous thinking about it. Like it's so gross. So that's my least favorite moment. That monster was gross.
It died.
So. My favorite moment was actually your least favorite moment. I think that was dope. I don't know if it's a parent thing, but like she knew like something is wrong with you.
No, I like that she knew. Yeah. I just don't like how she reacted. It's not, that's what I don't like. I think it was amazing she knew.
Yeah, that's so for me, that was my favorite moment because it was just like, you can tell that. And that's real shit. Like, you can tell when, not even your friends. I think if we came in here with a different energy, if we started doing stuff, you came in here like, I love your legs or something like that. I know you wouldn't say it, but like you say something in a compliment, but you genuinely mean it. It'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with Brennan? Like, this isn't Brennan. Or like if somebody, or if Rob just come in here and start saying like, who the fuck, this dumbass motherfucker, look at this bitch over here, Ice. Like, wait, who is this person?
Like prank? Because if it's not, whoa, what's happening?
Right. Exactly.
Like, Rob, are you okay?
Yeah, like, who are these people? So I think it's always dope as it, like that she knew. Like, it didn't take no time, just how she looked. She's like, hey, turn around real quick. Let me see your eyes. Like, and when she turned around, she's like, oh, yeah, I know it. Now, she handled it stupid as fuck. Least favorite moment, I think, for me was the fight with the, when he pulled the dude away. Because, you know.
Wait, what?
When he pulled the said like, oh, it's too many people around. We need to go and fight the dude.
Yeah, the dude that wanted to merge with Miggy. Yeah, was just like, oh, you can be my hand.
I feel like that was just kind of lackluster because and me watching, I'm like, oh, he pulling him to the side.
Yeah,
like he really about like it's about to be some shit. Mm-hmm. But they didn't really get after it, so I was just like, and they had a conversation damn near like,
easy chop up.
Yeah,
I can see that. That was kind of a. It seemed like it was kind of a waste, but maybe to show the strength of his parasite to see like, yo, I'm a beast out here in these streets, maybe. But yeah, I can see that. That makes sense. So what do you guys think out there? Animation Squad, what is y'all rating from out of a 9,000? What is your favorite and least favorite moment? Let us know in the comment section below, man. All right, give us y'all stuff. Drop y'all stuff. Go ahead, Ice.
Ice.McGowan on everything.
Rob?
Yeah, RV Danger on Instagram.
Brandon?
At Mr. Producer Vase on Venmo.
Hey,
is it really? Is that your real Venmo?
Yeah. At Mr. Producer Vase. I mean, it's my Instagram.
You get a whole bunch of like requests. Like,
probably.
I mean, y'all can request whatever you want. But I'm just saying.
At the end of the day, if he gets even a dollar, I'm gonna be like Venmo next week.
I want to shout out to some people. They have been like saying like, "Ooh, do you guys have a Cash App or somewhere we can give money to? If you guys want to give us money, let us know. We gonna
we'll create a Patreon or something."
I'm Keenan Baker on every single thing, man. And we thank you every week for tuning in to another episode of Animation. We out.
And so anime was solved forever.